All right, so the way that this works, whoever buzzes in first, they get to answer the question first. If they get it wrong, then the other team gets a chance to answer the question. And then it goes back to the first team, and at that point they get to use their Bibles or their notes to aid them in answering the question, which they're not allowed to do the first time. And if they still get it wrong, then the opposing team gets a chance to answer with the use of their Bible and notes. All right, let me go through our topics. We have narrative. The first six chapters of Daniel are written in narrative format. Nebuchadnezzar. Third category is kings and rulers. Fourth, we have dates and figures. Fifth, yet to come. And then sixth is prophetic imagery. So, we have those six categories, five questions each, and they're not like super fancy in real Jeopardy format where you have to answer in a question or answer format, whatever. They're just regular questions. So, Brittany, being the female, you get to choose your category, and you guys feel free to help her pick a category. She's just the one pushing the buzzer. So, team, red team. Go ahead and pick a category. Yeah, the vast majority.
No, I don't know what's going on. Sorry.
All right, Britt, go ahead.
We can do Nebuchadnezzar for 3. Let's do that.
All right, and then you guys are racing to the buzzer. Nebuchadnezzar 300, here we go. What precipitated Nebuchadnezzar having his statue dream in chapter 2? What came before it? What led to it?
Yeah, don't use big words, please.
Too late, it's already typed in. That's not too big. I've not gotten any buzz yet. Do, 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 do. Nobody. Oh, Sam and Abby. Oh. Oh. I think, Abby, you must not have been in here when I told you. You have to throw something at her to let her jump up and wave, yell, scream. Let her know. All right. Red team is buzzed in. Abby, what is the answer?
I'm just going to guess. Is it like
Jedi story? No, that was actually chapter 3. But I was looking specifically for something different. Blue team, you want to take a stab at it?
God in heaven reveals mysteries and has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and your visions in your mind while on your bed. That's all I found about.
All right, well, good. So, yeah, his thoughts had turned toward the future, and God was giving him the answers for his thoughts. So that's, I'll actually read in verse 29, Daniel 2:29. Says, as for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn toward what would take place in the future, and he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. And so Nebuchadnezzar is just kind of laying restless in his bed, thinking and pondering what's going to happen, and God, in his grace and mercy, gave him the answer through an amazing dream. All right, we'll go ahead and give those 300 points to the blue team. Somebody stole my Kleenex, and I'm definitely going to need those at some point. All right, blue team, go ahead and pick a category after I get there. Thank you. Man, you guys are going to have to pick up the pace. Kings and rulers, all right, for how much? Oh, Jen is quite confident. Kings and rulers, 500. We'll see who buzzes in first. All right, what is the name of Belshazzar's biological father? Ooh, Jerry taught this lesson. I should put him on blast like that. Ooh, red team has buzzed in.
Was it Tabadazer?
Ooh, it's very close to that. Blue team.
I can't even remember how to spell it. What did he say? What was it?
I don't know how close it really is. He said Hadadazer. Is that what he said?
It's Napolazer or something. Starts with an N.
All right, red team. You can use your Bibles or notes. I don't know how many of you have notes. Perhaps Andy was a good note taker. Do you have your notes?
From
Daniel. You take them on your bulletins and don't keep them together, huh?
It was like a roundabout.
Jerry was the closest, for sure. All right, anybody else? I'm just going to leave 500 points on the board.
Who was Nebuchadnezzar?
He was his grandfather, but the answer, if nobody else has another guess. Who said that?
Emma.
Are you Googling back there?
I didn't pronounce it correctly, so.
Oh, but you are Googling? Oh! I was going to be beyond impressed, but since you're Googling, 500 points from the red team. I'm just playing. Yes, Nabonidus. Nabonidus. What's with the look, Jerry?
I don't
remember reading. Oh, you were very close. You said Nabod something. Oh. Yes. Yeah, similar to that. All right. Since nobody got that, I'm going to pick a category. I'm going to go narrative for 100. Why was Daniel thrown into the lion's den? Blue team.
Because he was praying to God when
Yeah, close enough. He was praying to God, and Darius the Mede, remember, had a law that he couldn't, this irrevocable law that he couldn't take back. Good job. 100 points for blue team. All right. Blue team, go ahead and pick another category. What are you thinking, Jim? Where should you go? He shakes his head.
Just throw a dart.
Do you have to come for 200?
Yet to come, 200. What do the 10 horns of the fourth beast of Daniel 7 represent? Oh, Team Red Buzz. Good job. I missed that. Mr. Xander.
Where's the dog in it? I have my head in this
one. You know it.
Is it the Romans, right?
Yeah. Keep going.
Roman kings?
Yes, Roman kings. Good job. And they are yet to come. So we have not seen those 10 Roman kings from the revived Roman Empire yet.
I was worried you were going to ask names. So.
Oh, good job, no names. We don't know those. Yes, good job. All right, what was that? It was 200 for red team. All right, Rex, where should we go? Throw a dart.
Good. 200 for prophetic imagery.
Prophetic imagery, 200. Here we go. What two animals does Daniel 7 use to describe Babylon? I don't see anybody throwing stuff at Brittany. But she still buzzed it, so.
Is it the bear and the lion? Or is that something else?
It is not a bear and a lion. Those are both in Daniel, and one of those answers is correct. Blue team, go ahead and steal.
Is
You are blue, yeah. Taylor.
An eagle and a lion.
An eagle and a lion. Good job. All right. So an eagle talks about an eagle's wings and that Babylon looked like a lion. That's in Daniel 7. Oh, I'm going to the wrong way. All right, so 200 for blue team. All right, blue team, go ahead and pick a category. Taylor, you got that. Why don't you pick a category?
Dates and figures, 500.
Oh, dates and figures for 5. We're really playing now. What event begins the first of Daniel's 70 weeks? Blue team.
The decree to restore Jerusalem.
Good. The decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That begins Daniel's 70 weeks. And most of you guys probably know that, right? Because you recently went over that. Good. All right, so that's 500 for blue team. Miss Jo, would you like to pick a category? Narrative for 200. How did Darius punish Daniel's accusers? Red team has buzzed in. Riley says he knows it.
He put them in the den of lions.
Good job. He threw them in the den of lions, just like they were trying to do to Daniel. And before they even hit the bottom, the lions had devoured them. So it's not as if the lions weren't hungry. That's not why they didn't eat Daniel. God intervened, right? And his accusers paid the price. Good job. 200 for red team. Dax, where are we going?
Nebuchadnezzar 200.
Nebuchadnezzar for 2. What was unique about Nebuchadnezzar's request for the wise men to interpret his dream in chapter 2? Andy's raising his hand, throwing something at Brittany. All right. Andy.
What was unique was that Nebuchadnezzar was telling them to tell him what his dream was and interpret it.
Yes, and they were all unable to do so, and even Daniel said, dude, I can't do this. Nobody can do it, but my God can do it, right?
Right.
Good job. 200 for red team. Right? Was that 200? It was 200. All right, Mandy, where are we going? Your eyes got really big really fast. All right. Dates and figures, 300. How long did it take Alexander the Great to conquer the Medo-Persian Empire? Blue team.
4 years.
Good job. Less than 4 years. Awesome. That was 300 for blue team. All right. Chandler, throw a dart up there. Where are we going next? Yet to come 400. What event begins the 70th of Daniel's 70 weeks? Team Red has buzzed in.
It was, because it's future tense.
Thank you.
Yet to come. He makes a covenant with Israel, the Antichrist, does he, right?
Yep, good job. And that will set things into motion. All right, we're making progress. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, somebody help me.
400?
No. Yeah.
What did you choose, Chandler? You chose yet to come 400, right?
Yeah, 400.
Okay.
Blue for 400?
No, red for 400.
Oh, red for 400.
Yeah, don't give red's points to the blue team. Yes. All right, Sarah, where should we go next? Did you say Europe? I like that.
Kings and rulers for
100. Kings and rulers for 1. In chapter 2, who is the head of gold? Oh, Team Red has buzzed in. I saw Kilo reach over. Too late. Red team.
Babylon.
Good job. All right. Yes. I told you all to sit closer. Yes. Because it's more specific?
Yes, it's more specific.
I'm going to accept Babylon. But yes, Daniel is talking to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, you are the head of gold. But Nebuchadnezzar is the representative of Babylon. He's not only the head of gold, he's the head of Babylon. So. I might listen a little bit more if it were 500-point one. All right. Where are we going next, red team? You're going to keep making me call out individuals?
Narrative 300.
All right. What was the effect of the furnace being turned up to 7 times its normal temperature in chapter 3? I see people over here raising their hand. Red team is buzzed in.
I'll answer.
Okay.
The guards that were trying to throw them in were burned before they could even throw them in into the furnace.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? The people throwing them in, they were killed. Kind of went against what Nebuchadnezzar was hoping to do, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because the three men, they were not even singed.
Other things, yes.
Yeah. Good. 300 for red team. All right. Stan, what do you think? Where should we go next? Yes, I'm picking you. Pick a category.
I can't read those from here, so someone else is going to.
All right, you're off the hook.
Dates and figures
3.
Thank you.
That's gone. Oh, it's gone. Oh, 2. I just can't hear. All right. Stan can't see, I can't hear. Good company. All right, what are the dates of the 3 Babylonian captivities? Anybody know? Oh. And Jerry pushed it anyway. All right, blue team.
605, 586, and the middle one was 589, I'm guessing.
You got 2 out of the 3 right. Red team, you got a shot to steal. You're not supposed to use your Bible yet.
Oh, just
kidding. I don't know if you're going to find it. I guess if you have a study Bible. Yeah. You'll just find it. Y'all got to help Rudy out. She's shy. I gave her the tablet, and she reluctantly took it. He got 2 out of the 3 right. All right, Sam and Abby. Got to help her out. All right, 3 seconds. We're going to go back to blue team. Take a shot. What's that? It is not 7:40. All right, good job for taking a shot, though. All right, blue team. You can now use your notes and Bibles. All right, good. So 605 was the first. That's when Daniel was taken captive with his 3 buddies, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. 597, that's when Ezekiel was taken off with 10,000 other people. And then the big one was 586. You guys want to cement that in your brains. That's when Nebuchadnezzar came in and he totally destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, 586. But it really took place in 3 stages. Good job. So it was 200 points for the blue team. All right. Cheryl, why don't you pick our next category? Oh!
I never keep one question.
That's okay.
Come on,
Dean,
how
pick one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Kings and Rulers for 300.
Kings and Rulers 300. In chapter 11, what nations are represented by the kings of the north and the kings of the south? Nobody is buzzed. I don't see stuff flying through the air. Nobody's standing up and shouting. Red team has buzzed in. That's not, no. I'm sorry. All right, blue team. Jim, do you? You should be up here tapping on Jerry's shoulder, throwing stuff at him. Blue team, what 2 nations?
Is it
No. Oh, no. That was an answer, but it was a wrong answer. No. I'm sorry. Red team, second shot. All right, Sam's got his hand up back there.
I'm trying to recall. It was the kings of the south would be the Egyptians, and then the king of the north would have been the Dogonite. It's another Greek or another Greek Greek family up here. What was that?
You can't ask me. I'm asking the questions.
Syrians?
Yeah.
Yes. Good job. Teamwork. All right. Yeah, the Syrians and the Egyptians. Good job. Was that a 300-pointer? Is that right? Oh, yep. 300 points for red team. All right. Emma, where should we go? Yet to come 500. What event begins the Great Tribulation? There should be all kinds of stuff flying. All right, blue team.
Anybody want to answer that?
Go for it, Derek.
You guys just went through eschatology in the other class, right?
The breaking of the covenant.
All right, which also comes along with
desecration of the covenant.
Yeah, good job. So the breaking of the covenant, the abomination of desolation. Good job. How many points was that? That was a 500 pointer for blue team. All right, good job. All right, let's see. Mary, you want to pick a category? Yet to come for 100. All right. What is the stone of Daniel chapter 2? Seeing hands on the red side. All right, team red.
Jesus.
Keep going.
The one that brings judgment. He destroys the nations that are the statue.
All right, good job. Yeah, so the statue represents all these other nations. I think I'm safe to say now. Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome from top to bottom. And then the stone comes in and destroys it completely, right? And that's representative of Jesus and his kingdom, which is going to be set up and established forever. Good job. All right, 100 for red team. All right, who over here hasn't picked? Curtis, you want to pick a category?
Narrative for four.
What is unique about the language of Daniel? Red team.
The beginning and the end are both written in Hebrew, but there is a section, I don't remember exactly which chapter, written in Aramaic.
Good. Yeah, that's unique to the Bible. Most of the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, the New Testament's written in Greek, but Daniel's written in both Hebrew and Aramaic. It's chapters 2 through 7 that are written in Aramaic, and that's because God was directing that to the nations, the Gentile nations. And so he wanted, you know, Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome to know, hey, this is for you. And so he wrote it to them in the language of Babylon, the language of the Chaldeans of the day, in Aramaic. And the rest was written in Hebrew because it was directed toward the Jewish people. All right, so that was some number. 400. Good. All right. Our number keepers keeping track. Good job. Try it. Riley, where should we go?
Narrative 500.
What did Belshazzar see written on the wall? Red team.
So, going back to my mind, it's many, many.
Yeah, good job. Do you happen to know what that means?
It means that oh boy.
Don't worry, I'm checking my notes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was that? So we get some points?
No, red team gets the points. Nice try. It means he just weighed and divided, numbered, weighed, and divided is kind of what it means, many, many, tekel, a parson. But it means, let me read it for us. God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. He's telling this to Belshazzar right before his kingdom's going to be taken away. You have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. So that's pretty cool stuff. If you guys haven't been through Daniel, you need to check out Daniel because it's just filled with prophecy and God is lifted up and you can see that he knows every little detail before it takes place.
I'll tell you why the handwriting is on the wall.
Why is that?
I can't remember the interpretation. Because Belshazzar had thrown an orgy with all of his people and they were using the goblets and the things from the temple.
Yeah. Yeah. How wicked is that, right? Breaking them out, using them for his little wicked, sinful party.
And they were praising the gods of gold.
Yeah.
Yep. Rather than the one true God, he says, nah, that ain't happening, right? And there's this handwriting up the wall, and surely he's wondering, did I have too many drinks, or what went on, right? But no, he got his answer, and his life was taken from him that night, and his kingdom as well. Good. Abby. First, we'll go next.
Halt.
Oh, that halt. That was for red.
And for red or blue? Who answered?
That was for red.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's do Nebuchadnezzar
500. Nebuchadnezzar 500. After his humiliation and restoration, what title does Nebuchadnezzar use to refer to God? Red team.
Most high, yeah.
Yeah, good job. And let's see, it's in verse 34. So Daniel 4:34 says, at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason was returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And then he also, down in verse 37, calls him the king. Says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the king of heaven. So it's quite a shift in where he was before, where he was saying, look at everything that I have built. God took and humbled him and changed his mind, changed his heart. Good. Red team, you're on a roll. Let's see. Who on the red team has an answer? Cindy, you want to pick a category for us?
Yeah. Prophetic imagery for 300.
Prophetic imagery, 300. And Jerry is appealing that people yell at him rather than throw stuff at him. I guess that's adequate too.
Well, has been
what is the significance of the leopard's four heads and four wings? Red team has buzzed in.
It's Greece, and so the four heads and the four wings are the four generals who Alexander divided up.
Uh-huh. And the four wings, what might that?
He's fast.
Yes, he's fast. Like Kilo said, 4 years he went and destroyed the Medo-Persian Empire. And then after destroying everything that he could destroy, he actually was so sad and devastated that he didn't have any more nations he could conquer that he just broke down and cried. And he died at the age of 32, and he left his kingdom to four generals. That's represented by the four heads of the leopard from Daniel chapter 7. Good job. That was 300 for the red team. Let's see, Hayden sitting back there. Why don't you pick our next category?
500.
What animals does the Bible use, or animal does the Bible use to speak of the dreadful and terrifying beast of chapter 7? Blue team.
A dragon?
No. You're kind of close. In a different way. All right, red team. Anybody know? Ooh, Sam is, he's got his hand halfway raised. What are you thinking back there, Sam?
Well, there wasn't any animal in this described it as, right? It was just terrifying.
It was described as terrifying. I'm going to give Blue Team another shot at it.
A bear.
Huh?
A bear.
A bear?
Huh? Was it the
bear? Well, the bear represented the Medo-Persian Empire. Red Team, one more shot.
Yes.
You do, yes.
Does it depend on the translation? Because she said it also just says fourth beast.
Yeah, it says dreadful and terrifying. And it, remember, this is a 500-point question. It's kind of a trick question, but I didn't say animals and the Bible rather than Daniel. So Daniel actually doesn't give a description. However, in the book of Revelation, it does. And so let me read to you from Revelation 13:2. Actually, I'll read 13:1 because that kind of touches on where Kilo was almost right. It says, "And the dragon, who represents Satan, stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns, that's similar to Daniel, right? And 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names," just like there was on the horn that represented the Antichrist back in Daniel. But here's our answer. In verse 2 it says, "And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority." And so just like the Roman Empire kind of came in and they demolished these other nations that were before them, but they kind of incorporated some of their history and their culture into their own culture. That's what's, they were represented by a bear and a lion and a leopard. And so this fourth great and dreadful terrifying beast, which represents Rome, is kind of an amalgamation of all those other empires. All right, so 500 points, that'll just stay on the board. Let's see, we'll go dates and figures for 400. Get those 400s off the board. When was the book of Daniel written? Do, 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 do. Blue Team.
536.
Yes.
Number.
Yeah, that is a great number. I would just take 6th century. And that's important because a lot of people want to place Daniel as being written in the 2nd century after a lot of this stuff has taken place, because they come to the text with a presupposition that this is so accurate that it couldn't have been written beforehand. And that presupposition needs to be denied and discounted, and we need to realize that God is a God who is outside of time, and he gave this as prophetic utterance. It was given beforehand. In fact, there's so much specificity in the book of Daniel as far as dates and times go. He's so very particular about writing, well, in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, in the third year of Darius, all throughout. It's just opening itself up for scrutiny. It's saying, go ahead and come and verify that this is God's word, that this is truth. And so placing it in the 6th century is vital. If we were to try to place it later, it's undermining what the authority of Scripture is actually claiming. And even if you were to place it in the 2nd century like some people try to do, there's still stuff in the book of Daniel that takes place after the date that people try to give it. So it's a futile endeavor to try to undermine the authority of God.
But you can't say we can refute that because...
Absolutely.
Because the details, somebody in the 2nd century probably wouldn't be able to be that accurate with the dates at that time.
Yep.
Plus the Dead Sea Scrolls...
Yeah, the Dead Sea Scrolls contain 8 manuscripts from Daniel, which the Dead Sea Scrolls predate the 2nd century. The Septuagint, the Greek rendering of the Old Testament, that predated when people tried to place Daniel, and it contains Daniel. And Jesus in the New Testament in Mark 13, Matthew 24, he refers to Daniel. He says, you guys remember what Daniel the prophet has written? And if Daniel was trying to dupe everybody else and he ended up somehow pulling the wool over the eyes of Christ, then what are we even doing here? Our faith is in vain. But that's not the case, right? Daniel was in fact written in the 6th century. So, good answer. 400 points to the blue team. Where should we go, Kilo? Kings and rulers, 200. Under whose reign did the Babylonian kingdom fall? My phone has turned off. Andy's raising his hand. Red team.
Belshazzar.
Yes, sir. Good job. And we looked at that a little bit with the writing on the wall, right? That's when the Babylonians fell to the Medes and the Persians. All right, so 200 for the red team. Let's see. Joanna. Oh, you just have to pick a number. You don't have to answer. You can answer the question, but.
Yet to come, 300.
All right. Good job. Oh, good job. I'm proud of you. All right. Finish the verse. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which. It's got four spots. And I tried to space them out accordingly. Yeah. No buzz yet. Nobody. Anybody want to take a guess at it? Should we leave that one up there too? No guesses. No points taken away for getting a wrong guess. All right, Jerry will guess. That's four. Good job. You got the number wrong, but yeah, will never be destroyed. Perfect. Yeah, I didn't put the will up there. So that's from Daniel 2:44. It says that in those days, kings. What? In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. That's a great verse. That's talking about the kingdom that Jesus is going to set up. And he's doing it on the heels of talking about how there's going to be all this fighting and war and telling Daniel that after you, after Babylon, there's going to be another kingdom and then another kingdom after them, another kingdom after them, and just all kinds of shifting of power. And then Jesus is going to come on the scene and he's going to say, nope, it's done. And his kingdom is going to be an everlasting, enduring kingdom. Good job. That was 300 for the blue team. Let's see. Diane, hiding back there. Why don't you pick a category for the blue team?
What's the last column?
Prophetic imagery.
We'll do that for 400.
All right. Prophetic imagery for 400. Explain the horns of the goat in chapter 8. This probably sounds like Greek to a lot of you who have been going through Daniel with us. The horns of the goat in chapter 8.
It's not in Hebrew.
Yeah. Yep. Just barely out of Aramaic. No buzzing.
Represents the Medea and Persia?
No. Yeah, sorry. Red team. Sam.
The two horns, one was big and did a lot of boasting and then it broke off. And anybody remember what the horns were? That's what happened.
That's what happened, he said. Let me see. What are you? We got people looking at each other. All right, so let me see.
The winds, the four directions of wind. Is that
not quite. So I'll read this answers from verse 8 and 9. It says that out of one of them, so the male goat, he was representative. Do you have something?
Well, I was just going to say, it starts out with one horn.
Yes.
And then it gets
torn off. So the male goat represented the kingdom of Greece. And Greece, if you know and remember from all the way back in the day when you were doing history in school, it was really ruled primarily by Alexander the Great, right? And so he was this one conspicuous horn that was coming up out of the middle of this goat's forehead, not out of the sides like a typical goat would be. There was one horn out of the middle. And then it says, verse 8. Then the male goat magnified himself exceedingly, but as soon as he was mighty, a large horn was broken, and in its place came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. And so remember we talked about how when Alexander the Great died, when he was just 32, his four generals took over. He said, give my kingdom to the mighty, to those who are powerful. And so it was divided up between his four generals, and that represents these four horns that took up the place of this one horn. And then it says in verse 9, out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the beautiful land. And that's talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, another wicked man who grew up out of even one of those four kings. And so there are a lot of horns that are talked about in chapter 8. Man, I'm sorry for asking you guys a question you weren't even here for, but that's the answer. All right. Let's see. Anybody else want to pick a category? I'll just throw it out there.
Nebuchadnezzar 400.
What's lacking in Nebuchadnezzar's response in 247, where he says, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries? That seems like a decent answer for Nebuchadnezzar to give. Red team.
Well, it implies that he is one among many gods and Lord among many kings, rather than just like we're the only one. Still being a little polytheistic.
Yeah, it says a God of gods and a Lord of kings, right? Not the God of gods or the Lord of kings. All right, I'll take that. What's that?
He didn't say he's the most high God yet.
Yes. Yeah, he's not establishing him as the most high God, and he's not acknowledging him as his own God. He's talking about your God, Daniel, is a God of gods. Your God is a Lord of lords. He does the same thing in chapter 3 when he's talking to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. In 3:28, it says, this is after the whole fiery furnace event, and Nebuchadnezzar is just wowed that they weren't killed. He looks, and there's actually four men in the fire. It says in 3:28, that Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God, not of himself, but of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants and put their trust in him, violating the king's command. But later on, he does seem to embrace God as his own God and recognizes him as the most high God, not somebody else's God, but his own God. All right, good job. Those points go to the red team. That was 400. What do we got next, Sam?
Kings and rulers, 400.
Kings and rulers for 4. 11:2 speaks of a king who will become strong through riches and arouse a whole empire against Greece. What is his name? All right. Taylor is raising her hand.
Darius the Mede?
Not quite. Yeah. Good guess. Red team. What do you think, Brittany?
I don't.
Yeah. Sure you do.
She's like, I don't.
Sam, you got a stab at it?
I got nothing.
Nothing.
You have something?
Blue team, do you want to take another guess? No? All right. It was talking about Xerxes or Ahasuerus. Remember, he was mentioned as having a ton of money. We actually read about him in the book of Esther. Same king is mentioned here in Daniel before he even comes on the scene. Let's talk about Xerxes or Ahasuerus. All right, let's go Nebuchadnezzar for one. What were Daniel and his friends given in place of the king's choice food and wine? Red team.
Vegetables.
Vegetables and?
Water.
Water. Who's whispering water over there? Is that Riley? Good job. That's not a great whisper. Usually it's when you get older that you need to realize that you're probably not a great whisperer, but right now you should realize you're not a great whisperer. All right. Vegetables and water. 100 for red team. All right, Rex. Which one of those do you want to go for?
Dates and figures.
Dates and figures, 100. In chapter 10, how long was Daniel's prayer delayed and why? Blue team.
3 weeks because the prince or the demon of Persia was interfering.
All right.
With
good job. Yeah. See some spiritual warfare going on there. Good job. All right. 100 for blue team. And Kilo, you can pick the last category. All right, we'll go prophetic imagery, 100. Which empire is represented by the lopsided bear in chapter 7? You got to throw something, Sam. Oh, blue team. Buzzed in first. Sorry. What is it? Yeah, the Medes and the Persians. And they're lopsided because the Persians were more influential, more powerful than the Medes. And so the bear's kind of up on one side. Good job. All right. Miss Evelyn Scorekeeper, where are we sitting on points?
42 for red, 31 for
blue. Oh, 42 for red and 31 for blue. So, somehow.
We can throw stuff at Jerry.
Oh. Yeah, you can throw stuff at Jerry.
Except for clarification, on the goats, one. Did anybody get those points?
Nobody got those points.
Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. That's where we're at. Unless it would be more exciting to give them to the blue team. We can give them to the blue team.
Yeah.
All right. 42 for red, 31 for blue. We're going to go into Final Jeopardy. Do you guys know what you want to wager in Final Jeopardy? Does it even matter? All in. Everything. All right. Let's do it. We got one last question. Let's see. All right, so this is an outline diagram that we've been using for the book of Daniel. And at one point, I moved one of these lines from this diagram, from this outline, to more accurately reflect the flow of the book. Was it this first line? Number one, number two, number three, or number four? Which line would better reflect the outline of the book where that line moved? Kilo's ready to buzz. But that's not quite how Final Jeopardy works. I don't know exactly how it works. I've just seen it a few times. But one of those lines was moved a little bit. So, all right, Kilo is just, he's going for it. He taps the buzz button and he's saying four. Kilo, why should that fourth line be moved? You don't know, you just know that it was moved? Are you sure? Yes. Anybody else know why that fourth line was moved?
Abby's raising her hand.
Oh, I see that hand back there. Miss Abby.
She said three.
I was thinking three, but I don't know why. She said it was because it fits
the flow of the book better.
That would be a great answer. But Kilo was right. It was the fourth one, and it was moved a little bit to the left because in Daniel chapter 7, that was actually Daniel's dream, where he had this vision of the four beasts. And it was the angel who came and interpreted Daniel's dream. That's kind of a big shift that we see in the book of Daniel. Before, Daniel's the one who's interpreting other people's dreams. And then later on, he starts having dreams that are more, starting especially in chapter 8, that are more reflective of Israel's future and what God has for his people, Israel. So apparently, the blue team won. I'm so very proud of you guys. You guys get to rub it in the face of the red team for the rest of the day, unless you want to be Christ-like, in which case you just walk out of the room with a smile, I guess. Well, thank you guys for sitting through that. I know that most of you guys weren't here for that. But again, your teacher dipped, so you can blame him. I'll go ahead and pray. We can spend some time in fellowship. We'll come back here in a few minutes. God, we do thank you again for your word, that your word is truth, that it is trustworthy and reliable, that you are a God who is outside of time. You have no restraints on you, no counselor who gives you advice, and that you gave us your word. You gave us an outline of what would take place before it took place so that we could know and trust that you will come and you will set up your kingdom, that it will be an everlasting, eternal kingdom. God, we pray that everybody here would be there with you, ruling and reigning in that kingdom. God, we long for that day. We look forward to that day. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.